Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, September 24th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Pope Francis calls on the U.S. Congress and the American people to set aside divisions and to renew a spirit of fraternity and solidarity, cooperating generously for the common good.
The Pope of the Holy See!
UNICEF assures struggling victims of last year's Tokwe Mukosi floods that they will receive much-needed assistance as the rainy season fast approaches, as most remain living in squalid conditions.
The support is mainly aimed at ensuring that children in particular get access to safe water and basic sanitation, safe learning spaces, and adequate protection services.
And the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association says its members may soon embark on a nationwide strike following the government's failure to come good on its promises to review doctors' salaries and working conditions.
Yeah, it's true. The doctors are not happy, particularly by the failure of the government to honor its promises and its pledges.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That message from the Roman Catholic Holy Father Pope Francis in his historical address to a joint session of the U.S. Congress today. Studio 7 reporter Ntunga Milinkomo has more details.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you Pope Francis of the Holy See.
As expected, the Pope's congressional address touched on various issues that everyday people are talking about. These include poverty, social justice, climate change, immigration, and above all, peace, love, and harmony. The Pope challenged the U.S. Congress to work together to combat climate change and poverty for the good of the human race. He said it was everyone's duty to contribute towards the achievement of a pollution-free environment.
To take this opportunity to dialogue with the many thousands of men and women who strive each day to do a honest day's work. These are men and women who are not concerned simply with paying their taxes, but in their own quiet way, sustain the life of society.
This call appeared to resonate with members of Congress from both sides of the aisle, including environmentalists who had gathered among thousands of people at the Washington Mall. He said poverty had become a major problem across the world, urging those who have the resources to help those in need. The Pope also spoke to the immigration crisis in Eastern Europe and world conflict that he said was being fueled by fundamentalists. To curb the problem, Pope Francis called for restraint in the unmitigated sale of arms of war. He said violence in the name of religion, whatever religion or any cause, has no place in the world. As the Pope spoke, thousands of people in the Washington Mall cheered in appreciation of his talking points, especially on fighting poverty, social justice and climate change. One of them is Chris Demigas. So, what did Chris make of the Pope's speech?
I thought it was very interesting. It definitely covered the two bases that it seemed like he was going to talk about, the poor and the environment. I liked his quote that he used where he said, you can't judge the past on the criteria of the present.
From Congress, the Pope proceeded to meet with homeless people before departing for New York, where he will address the United Nations General Assembly tomorrow. Meanwhile, a delegation of Zimbabwean Catholics attending a family symposium in Philadelphia say they are excited they will be meeting the Pope on Saturday. Father Claude Maganga tells us their symposium is going on well.
The teaching today at this conference, there was a keynote session which was given by Dr. Juan Francisco de la Godina from Spain. In his talk, he was really taking on the gift from God, the meaning of human sexuality.
Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, I am Tungamili Nkomao.
Thanks, Ntungamili. As the Pope Francis prepares to address the United Nations General Assembly tomorrow, many Catholics in South Africa have praised him for highlighting the plight of the poor and vulnerable. Pope Francis has frequently denounced capitalism, describing it as an economic system that idolizes money over people. Benedict Nhlapo spoke to congregants of the Cathedral of Christ the King in Johannesburg, who say the world will only become a better place for all when the spirit of selfishness has been replaced by that of sharing and putting others first.
This was the kind of jubilation expressed by members of the Roman Catholic Church when Pope Francis arrived in USA for his three-day visit. His visit has also received a lot of excitement from the Catholics in South Africa. These are congregants of the Cathedral of Christ the King in Johannesburg, singing their favorite praise hymn on a Sunday morning. As Pope Francis prepares to conclude his visit to America on Saturday, his followers in South Africa say out of all the discussions he had during his trip, they were encouraged by his anti-capitalism stance, expressed in his call for the poor and vulnerable to be taken care of. In his brief remarks at the White House in Washington on Thursday, the Pope urged the Americans to care for the poor.
I would like all men and women in this great nation to support the efforts of the international community to protect the vulnerable in our world and to stimulate inclusive models of development.
Zimbabwean National Samgelson Ndlovu, a member of the Cathedral of Christ the King, agrees with Pope Francis.
I support the Pope for asking the rich to share with the poor. It's unfair to have individuals who are extremely rich when the majority of people are poor.
This is also what most congregants at the Cathedral of Christ the King are praying for.
I confess to Almighty God that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
This church has also put into practice Pope Francis' teaching of sharing. A group of volunteers calling themselves Cathedral Care Team contribute money to buy and cook food for the poor. Zimbabwean national Lucky Ncube is one of the beneficiaries of this initiative.
The food we get here is a great relief for us. We are now able to use the little money that we get for other things since food is already catered for. It is indeed a relief.
Mercy Sangweni, 9, is one of the children who get fed every fourth Sunday of the month.
In this place, they are giving us food like rice, chicken, and it is helping us a lot. I wish that they can continue giving us.
Once their tummies are full, she and others do not forget to give thanks to God. Hida Dimink, the leader of the care team, says she is fully behind Pope Francis's anti-capitalism stance.
Pope Francis, I am glad I can be part of his mission. I don't want people to be hungry. And if I can give one person a meal a day, it will make me very happy. Children and people shouldn't suffer.
Father Thabo Mosheho, the administrator at the Cathedral of Christ the King, thanks the Pope for preaching the gospel of sharing.
The rich have become so rich at the expense of the poor, whereby a poor man down the street is not even able to make ends meet, whereas the rich are living lavishly.
And many Catholics in South Africa say if Pope Francis's gospel of caring for the poor is sufficiently preached, the world will become a better place. Reporting for Studio 7 in Johannesburg, this is Benedictine Hlapo.
Thank you, Benedict. I hope you have a blessed Heritage Day in South Africa. UNICEF has assured victims of last year's Tokwe Mukosi floods, most of who are still living in poor conditions, that they will receive much-needed assistance as the rainy season fast approaches. Most of the victims have been complaining that most of the aid being donated in their name has not been reaching them. The Japanese government yesterday donated over $1 million through UNICEF to local government minister Sevia Kasukuere to support women and children displaced by the 2014 floods around the Tokwe Mukosi Dam in Masvingo province. Blessing Zindi, who works with UNICEF's emergency department in Harare, says the funds will be used to reduce the risk of malnutrition, diarrheal diseases, and the prevention of abuse and sexual violence, especially among women and children.
Yes, the government of Japan donated a total of $1,050,000 to support the flood victims. Basically, the support is mainly aimed at ensuring that children in particular get access to safe water and basic sanitation, safe learning spaces, and adequate protection services. These basic services will reduce the associated risks and mainly prevent an outbreak of diarrheal diseases.
Has there been any outbreak yet? Why this concern?
There has not been any outbreak yet, but as you know that the rainy season is upon us and comes with a heightened risk of diarrheal diseases. We want to ensure that we prevent diarrheal diseases. We want to make sure that we assist the communities by ensuring that they have enough provisions to prevent malnutrition, diarrheal diseases, and access to basic services that I've alluded to.
And where does UNICEF come in?
UNICEF comes in as a partner of the government of Japan. UNICEF is the recipient of the funds, but the funds are supporting a government program. UNICEF places an huge importance in partnerships, and its effort is mainly to reduce disaster risks. UNICEF will also work with the government of Zimbabwe to support the displaced families, and this has resulted in ensuring that many lives were saved.
That was Blessing Zindi of UNICEF speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. The Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association says its members may soon embark on a nationwide strike following the government's failure to come good on its promises last year to review government doctors' salaries and working conditions. Government doctors led a crippling strike last year that pushed the government to promise the review. Association President Fortune Nyamande says a date for the strike action will be announced soon.
Yeah, it's true. The doctors are not happy, particularly by the failure of the government to honor its promises and its pledges, which it made last year. As you are aware, there was an industrial action by doctors countrywide in Zimbabwe. So the government has been mum. In fact, we last saw them the last time they promised us. It is actually one of the greatest sources of our anger to say they were negotiating with us in good faith. Because honestly, with what they agreed to, by now they should have gone a step further beyond the on-call allowance. They should have gone a step further
towards providing us with the duty-free facilities for vehicles, because they argue that they do not have the fiscal capacity to properly remunerate us as doctors. So what will stop them from giving us some non-monetary incentives so that they appreciate the huge and important work that we do? So we really feel that this is an act of betrayal, this is an act of insincerity, actually sheer and utter arrogance on part of the government.
Have you set a date to embark on this industrial action?
It would be premature for me to set the date, but we are actively consulting all our branches countrywide.
That was Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Nyamande on the line with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. And right now we take a look at regional and international news. Russian President Vladimir Putin will meet with U.S. President Barack Obama in New York on Monday, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said today. A stampede on the outskirts of the holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia left at least 717 people dead and more than 800 injured in the deadliest tragedy to strike the annual Hajj pilgrimage in a quarter century. And the latest U.S. political survey shows billionaire Donald Trump maintaining his lead in the crowded field of Republican Party candidates seeking the party's 2016 presidential nomination, with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton ahead in the Democratic contest. Zimbabweans have since last week been talking about political talks said to be taking place in secrecy, bringing together officials from ZANU-PF, the main opposition movement for democratic change, and its breakaways in an effort to find a solution to move the country forward. But the talks were supposed to be known to a few people only, but one of the top officials attending the talks leaked the information to the media. Now the leak seems to have derailed the talks, with some officials saying they have not been invited to further rounds, starting with one that was expected to be held today in the resort town of Victoria Falls. It's not clear whether the meeting was held as planned, though the MDC Tswangirai and Ncube MDCs confirmed the talks. ZANU-PF, which is struggling with internal factions regarding President Mugabe's speculation, say they never happened. Nevertheless, speculation is rife on the formation of a second unity government. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with ZANU-PF member and analyst Goodson Nguni and political analyst Charles Mutasa. Mutasa says there's no harm in holding talks between political parties.
It's not clear whether this was to form a GNU, but what I know is that both parties have talked about working together to resolve the electoral issues, the constitutional alignment of laws.
And Mr. Nguni, I'll come to you. Your reaction?
First of all, can I make it very clear that ZANU-PF has no need to form a government of national unity with NDC formation, because the NDC formation lost the elections and they were rejected by the people of Zimbabwe. Secondly, we were invited by some organizers in Ghana. They decided to have it in Ghana for whatever reason to talk about Zimbabwe, and they invited other political parties. That does not constitute a negotiation.
Mr. Mtasa, I'll come here to you. Let's agree that these talks were looking at the general issues of the constitution or electoral reform. Why was this story, quote-unquote, leaked?
Well, they are various reasons why stories leak. First of all, you know that both the MDCs and the ZANU-PF have got factions, and those factions would leak information for some comparative advantage over each other. So it's very clear and very straightforward that some individuals will leak that information for either for their own benefit or just to arouse the public anger over a certain issue. And I also want to say that indeed the talks in Ghana were not about a GNU, but they were talks that would lead to people thinking about the GNU anyway. You cannot rule out that.
Mr. Nguni, coming to you here, you know, there are some Zimbabweans who are saying with this story leaking that they would welcome a second GNU, while others are saying there's no way that the MDC formations should help dig ZANU-PF out of what they're saying is a hole that they've put Zimbabwe in. What's your reaction to that?
First of all, I personally am against the government of national unity because the first one was a disaster as far as I'm concerned. And there are many people in Zimbabwe who think it was a disaster. There was no, during the time of the GNU, there were no economic policies that were brought to the fore. There was no foreign direct investment. We got some money from the supporters of the MDC to pay for some social services. The social services ministry were under the MDC minister. But we got no meaningful economic assistance Zimbabwe was given. For example, not one job, a new job was created by the GNU.
Mr. Mtasa, your response there, particularly focusing on the government of national unity.
Mr. Nguni is putting his facts clearly and properly by saying personally. He is speaking in his personal capacity and what he personally perceives to be the way forward. But as far as the ZANU-PF is concerned, he is not saying that the ZANU-PF is an entire party, including its two or three factions, they are against the GNU. I don't think that the issue of having a GNU is the retrogressive.
Mr. Nguni, moving forward, as you said, that you don't see in light any need for a GNU. But if the Zimbabwean people call for it, what should happen next?
First of all, can I make it very clear that the official position of ZANU-PF is that there will never be another government of national unity. That's the official position of ZANU-PF. The way forward is for those Zimbabweans who are working for white commercial farmers, who are trying to bring ZANU-PF down so that they can bring back white commercial farmers, to stop their negative attitude towards Zimbabwe. Secondly, the way forward for this country is for people to become loyal to this country and not to be loyal to Britain and to America.
And Mr. Mtasa, what's your take on the way forward?
Zimbabweans are Zimbabweans, whether they are in MDC or they are in ZANU-PF. They are Zimbabweans. And I don't think that if we label others and say that they are taking their ideas from Britain or America, that will solve anything.
That was ZANU-PF member and analyst Goodson Nguni. You also heard the views of political analyst Charles Mutasa. Both were in Harare. In what could be a test case for the country, a former government employee who was fired for allegedly engaging in gay practices is suing the Public Service Commission for unfair dismissal in the Labour Court. Correspondent Taurai Shaba gives us more.
According to state records, the complainant Raymond Swanda, who was employed as a youth officer by the Youth and Economic Empowerment Ministry, was fired last year after a disciplinary hearing found him guilty of misconduct. This was after Swanda had been arrested and paid an admission of guilt fine for a charge of performing an indecent act in a public place following a police raid at a hotel on the outskirts of Bulawayo, where he was part of a crowd allegedly attending a Christmas party hosted by the Gays and Lesbians Association of Zimbabwe, commonly known as GALS, in 2013. Swanda was dismissed on the basis of misconduct in terms of civil service regulations for, among other things, putting the name of the ministry into disrespect and disrepute on the grounds that he was engaging in gay activity. Through his lawyers, Dwe Banda Nzaratenga and partners, Swanda is fighting the Public Service Commission and the Minister of Youth, Indigenization and Economic Empowerment as respondents in contesting his dismissal. Swanda wants the court to determine whether or not his admission to a charge of performing an indecent act in a public place can be equated to gay practices, and also whether or not he was engaged in gay practices. He argues that the disciplinary authority should not have regarded this payment of an admission of guilt fine to the charge of performing an indecent act in a public place as conclusive evidence that he was involved in gay practices. He adds in the court papers that the authority had no basis for its findings as they are not supported by any evidence. Swanda says if he had indeed engaged in gay practices, then this was an offense. He should have been charged for an offense relating to gay practice. He condemns that no such crime exists under the country's laws, hence the police's attempt to, quote, sugarcoat the charge. He says the decision to dismiss him showed gross irrationality. On the other hand, in their court papers, the respondents are arguing that as a public official, Swande was expected to lead by example, adding his actions were intolerable. They add that the payment of an admission of guilt fine to conduct associated with public indecency and gay activities is enough for the government to sack him. The country's statutes outlaw same-sex marriage and sodomy, which is defined as, quote, the unlawful and intentional sexual relations per annum between two human males, as well as what the statutes term as unnatural offenses. President Mugabe has repeatedly condemned homosexuality, describing those who practice it as being worse than dogs and pigs. Reporting for Studio 7 from Lusaka, this is Taurai Shaba.
Thanks, Taurai. Former Attorney General Sobhuza Gulandebele tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube Swande's payment of a guilt fine for a charge of performing an indecent act in a public place may jeopardize his chances of winning the case.
It depends on whether or not he's following the regulations on the basis of which he was dismissed in terms of everything, the period within which he is supposed to appeal or challenge or review and so on and so forth. And then if everything is in terms of the rules and regulations, I suppose the court can make a decision on that. Otherwise, what might happen is that they will simply dismiss it on a technicality. Unfortunately, I don't have the full statement or the full detail of what exactly happened. This case obviously will be heard, and then based on the papers that are filed by the parties, the court can make a decision.
In such cases where somebody pays an admission of a guilt fine, doesn't it complicate everything?
If you pay an admission of guilt fine, it means that it becomes difficult for you to then challenge what sort of evidence in a civil matter, like a misconduct matter, because the proof in a criminal matter where you have admitted guilt is proof beyond reasonable doubt.
That was Sobhuza Gulandebele, Zimbabwe's former Attorney General, speaking with Studio 7 Skips Dube from Bulawayo. And Mojalifa Mokwele of the Sexual Rights Center believes that Swande has the right to challenge the dismissal in court.
What we are seeing is the matter of a man seeking justice like every other citizen, challenging an issue of dismissal at work based on a non-existing law or an act that is no longer existing.
In this kind of case, it seems as if he wants the court to determine whether or not his admission to a charge of performing an indecent act in a public place can be equated to gay practices. How far can he go with this case?
Yes, what he's doing is simply practicing his right as a citizen to actually let the court determine, therefore, if his dismissal was conducted in a rightful way. And like any other citizen, whether we are gay or not gay, we all have the right to equality before the law.
That was Mojalifa Mokwele of the Sexual Rights Center speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host on the Women Forum will reach out to you to discuss the Pope's visit to the United States, his message, and related issues. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. Now to recap today's top stories. Pope Francis calls on the U.S. Congress and the American people to set aside divisions and to renew a spirit of fraternity and solidarity, cooperating generously for the common good. UNICEF assures struggling victims of last year's Tokwe Mukosi floods that they will receive much-needed assistance. And the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association says its members may soon embark on a nationwide strike following the government's failure to come good on its promises to review doctors' salaries and working conditions. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington.